morning, everybody. Good to see you here on a beautiful, crisp Lord's Day. At least it's not raining yet. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. And for those of you who are members, we're glad you're here too. It's a good day. David is under the weather this morning, so I'm going to figure out how to do these announcements. I haven't done them in a long time. Jerry wants to have a work day next Saturday, right? 9 o'clock sharp. Okay. Next Saturday, 9 o'clock. Okay. Handrails and concrete. Just don't fall in the concrete. You'll need a rail to get out. Okay. So if you want to work, you can work. See Jerry, he'll give you a hammer. Okay, nothing tonight, but a Bible study will be coming up the last Sunday in January that David will be leading. The announcements are in the bulletin for you to read and peruse and make yourself available for those that pertain to you. If you are like me and have not done your February newsletter article, it is due today, so I'll be working on that this afternoon. Amen. Oh, I got another one over here. If you're looking for your contribution statements, they're out there in the box. I encourage you to pick it up before you leave today. Senior Adult Luncheon is coming up February the 11th, and I've seen some sign-up sheets around, so avail yourselves of that opportunity for a good time. Paul West will be singing that day. And Paul's still a good singer. He's a good fellow. Okay. One other announcement comes from Mr. Johnson.
Good morning. If you desire to have an engraved paver made and you have not yet signed up on the sign-up list, there are two new forms out there. If you would please sign your name. This is saying that you would like to have a stone. It's not saying that you have absolutely committed, but it's saying you would like to. Those of you who have signed up, some of you we've already contacted. There are many of you on there that I haven't yet contacted. I will be in touch with you to fill out the form. Also, if you know anybody, whether they are a current member of the church or they are a former member of the church or some family member connected with the church that you think would like to have a memorial stone made for the garden out here, please provide us that information. You could just simply write it on this list. Probably ought to contact, or you can tell James or Jane or me. And thank you very much.
Seconds and he only made 42, but it's pretty good. Okay, our first scripture this morning is one that's familiar to most of us, from Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Father, we invoke your blessing upon our gathering today that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you as always for the opportunity to be with your people, with you in our midst. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray the prayer that your Son taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, as you can tell, the choir is getting real crippled up here. So y'all pray for us. We're going to introduce a new song to y'all this morning. We sang it last week as our anthem, and this morning is Healing is in Your Hands. Let's stand and let's worship together. First through the third is the Women of Joy Conference in Myrtle Beach. And so I'm up here to tell you that we would like to go, those who would like to join us on May the 1st through the 3rd. And you'll see a flyer up in the hallway coming in like this. The cost for the conference itself is $99 if we sign up before May 11th. And the motel is around $170 if we go through their motel that they're offering. So you're looking at about a cost of $269. What?
When's the money due?
To get the discount is what I'm saying. You had to sign up before February 11th. Whatever. What did I say? Oh, excuse me. February 11th. That's what you get when you don't write things down. Like, I didn't have this in my folder, and that's why I had to hobble out and go get this and come back. So the money, we have to sign up before February 11th to get the discounted rate, or it's $20 more if we wait till after February 11th. So we're looking at having the money due by the 1st of February. So if you're interested, just see me or Leslie, somebody. Leslie or myself. I'll get the right grammar in a minute. Y'all know I'm from South Carolina. I can't talk. But so that's May 1st through the 3rd. And you'll see it. I think it's in the bulletin. Janice put in the bulletin too. And it'll be in the newsletter. How deep is the Father's love for us is our offertory hymn. Y'all done got me all flustered now. Hush, Frog.
May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship in your house this day. As we bring forth our offerings, help us to be generous givers, both in money and time, to make a difference in others' lives. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave all that we may know life at his fullest. Amen. Thank you.
be seated.
Class this week in rehab on conserving your energy. Sit whenever possible and lay down if that's possible. So I don't think I can lay up here, but I do know now why I'm so tired when I get home on Sunday morning from having to stand for a while. Boy, you learn things when you go to school. No, I wouldn't feel right, you know? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the beauty of your creation and for the delight of living in that creation. We thank you for the sunshine and the birds that are around even during the cold days, for the warmth of friendships and the joy of smiling faces. Most of all, we thank you for the gift of love through your Son, who gave his life that we might have life overflowing now and forever. We thank you, O God, for the privilege of prayer and the opportunity to give you thanks and to pray for one another. Father, we have many in our church family who need your touch of love and healing. And so we pray that we will avail ourselves of the opportunity to pray for them each day, knowing that you know their needs and will meet their needs according to your good will. We continue to pray for peace in our world, that peoples will one day learn to get along with each other. And we pray it soon. Lord, we pray for those who have gone through some difficult circumstances recently, for those dealing with fire and the destruction of land and animals and homes, for those caught in the midst of storms and earthquakes, for those caught up in the difficulties of addiction. Lord, bring your healing into their lives and give them hope. Father, we pray for forgiveness for the things that we do that we know we shouldn't, for the things that we do not do that we know we should. May we be a forgiving people of others as we experience that joy of forgiveness from you. And in these few moments, Lord, now we pray that you would speak to us through your scripture, that we might be able to live a life pleasing to you that will bring your kingdom closer to reality and share a message of love and compassion and hope and salvation to those who need to hear. And we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, who is Lord. Amen. A companion sermon to last Sunday's sermon this day from Romans chapter 5. Beginning with verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of God for the people of God. Every day seems to bring a new tragedy into our world. We have had those devastating fires in Australia, earthquakes in Puerto Rico, rain and storms down south with tornadoes and destruction of homes. We've got snowstorms going on all over now that disrupt people's lives, destroy property. It's just always something going on, something happening somewhere. That's kind of a joke that Judy and I have. Every time my phone goes off and I get a message from the news media, I always say, well, I wonder who got shot in High Point today. And that's sad, but it's true. Tragedies occur, and there are tragedies that occur daily that we never even know about. Personal tragedies. So, somehow, tragedies defy any rating system. How do you assign fewer or greater points to the death of a child or the diagnosis of a terminal illness or personal bankruptcy or divorce or a violent assault? Which is worse, the loss of hearing or the tragedy of the loss of sight? The death of a mother or the Alzheimer's of a father? Do you put points on any of that? Sooner or later, more or less, we all taste the flavor of tragedy in our life. And when we do, the question is, how do we respond to that tragedy? Specifically, how do we respond as Christians? You know, some people are devastated and almost destroyed by some lesser tragedy, while others are able to rise above some really, really horrendous tragedy in their life. In 1981, the movie Chariots of Fire, some of you probably saw that and remember that, won 5 Academy Awards, including one for Best Picture. And the film told the story of Eric Liddell and the 1924 Olympic Games in Paris. Eric was born in China to missionary parents. He was later educated in Scotland. He was a very, very fast runner. He had an unorthodox running style. His best event in running was the 100-meter dash. However, being a Christian and holding fast to his beliefs as a Christian, he was convinced not to compete in any sports on Sunday because he considered Sunday to be the Lord's Day, a day of worship and rest. And when he wouldn't run on Sunday, he was disqualified from his best event. Some would call it a tragedy, and others called it religious stupidity. Eric switched events, and he competed in the 400-meter dash, an event for which he had never ever trained. He finished 5 yards ahead of his nearest competitors, and he set a world record in that Olympic game. And so he left the 24 Olympics with a gold medal and a bronze medal. But he knew tragedy firsthand, and he had this wonderfully positive attitude toward the tragedies that he faced. During the 400-meter run, he actually tripped and fell, and he got up, and he caught up, and he won. Amazing. Some would say that tripping in the Olympic Games hardly qualifies as a tragedy. It's certainly not in the same league as suffering from a terminal brain tumor or being imprisoned in a concentration camp. Actually, Eric qualified on both of those too. You see, after the 24 Olympics, he became a missionary to China. And as the Japanese armies advanced into China, he sent his wife and his three daughters back to Canada, which was his home, the home of his wife. They would never, ever see each other again. He was captured, and he was interred in a prison camp where he died of a brain tumor in 1945. Tragedy is tragedy. It is unexpected. It is uninvited. It is certainly unwanted. Tragedies change the course of a life. Most often, they are permanent, leaving scars on our bodies, sadness in our hearts, and death in our cemeteries. Rarely in this world is it a good idea to compare tragedies. We don't compare with each other. Just because your tragedy doesn't make the evening news does not mean that your heart is any less broken or your fears are any less real. The champion of biblical tragedies was a fellow named Job. You all know Job. He was rich, he was healthy, and he was happy until tragedy took it all away. Listen to Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and all the servants, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the older brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. And it collapsed. It collapsed on them, and they are all dead, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Now, that's a rough two paragraphs. And if that weren't rough enough, Job soon became desperately and painfully ill with sores all over his body. And then his friends, began to turn against him. And even his wife told him to curse God and die. When tragedy struck Job, everyone was loaded with questions. The Old Testament book that tells the story of Job has 42 chapters, and in those 42 chapters, there are 300 questions asked. Most of those questions are left unanswered. Sort of like that one I got in the men's Sunday school class this morning. No comment. Men, wake up. I just told a joke about your class. If you read the book of Job, there is no hint in there that Job ever heard the answer himself. He died not knowing why he was tragically afflicted. Many of us, most of us, will never have our questions answered either. We will die without really knowing why tragedies happen. God does not promise to answer all of our questions, but he does promise to stick with us and to help us when tragedy strikes in our life. And so this calls for a distinctly Christian approach to tragedy. We don't choose tragedy, but we can learn and we can live a healthy attitude toward tragedy when it comes. Listen again to our text from Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his hope into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. These words were written by St. Paul. And if you know anything about Paul, you know his life was riddled with tragedies. And so out of his own experiences in life, he describes an astonishingly Christian approach to tragedy. 7 words. You can underline them. They'll help you. Faith, peace, grace, perseverance, character, hope, and love. If we live by those 7 words, it'll help us when tragedy comes. So let's start with faith. Faith is a synonym for trust. It is believing God for good even when we cannot see God and we see absolutely no good. Faith is the central element of all that it means to be a Christian. In its most important expression, faith is trusting God to forgive our sins and give us eternal life through Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon himself and died on a cross. In the face of tragedy, faith is trusting God for good, even when we have just sustained the most horrible blow of our entire lives. Faith. Trusting God. And then there's peace. Peace is a gift from God that flows from faith. We cannot fake peace. You either have peace or you don't have peace. There is no in between. Peace comes when we truly believe that God is in charge and that God is good. We choose to trust him for that which we cannot control ourselves, which is most everything. Peace. And then there's grace. Grace is not as abstract as peace. You can see, hear, feel, and taste grace. Grace is the undeserved favor of God in your life. Grace is that tangible goodness of God in our lives. Grace is that series of gifts that God gives us to help us through life's tragedies and triumphs. Grace may be money. Grace may be a job or family or friends or medicine or a favorite Bible verse or whatever else that God chooses to give. Remember, Jesus promised, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Grace. And then there's perseverance. That's a long word that means hanging in there. It's not giving up. It's remaining faithful. One of the more common responses to tragedy is giving up too soon. We do that a lot, you know. Things don't go our way. We give up. We take our marbles. We go home. And we do as Job's wife told him to do. We curse God. And sometimes we die. That's not what we're to do. Perseverance is giving God the time to help us and to heal us. It's far more than just wishful thinking that all of our problems will go away. Christian perseverance is possible only because of faith and peace and grace. We trust God. God settles our hearts. God gives us the grace to hang on in difficult times. And then there's character. Character is that internal strength that God gives us to do what is right. That's character. Do what is right. Quite candidly, those people in this world that have pretty easy lives risk having a weak character. It is the tragedies, the sufferings, and difficulties of life that build and hone our strength inside of us. Tragedy often has a dual purpose. Purpose of showing on the outside what we're made of and strengthening us on the inside to deal with what's going on. And then there's hope. We had a whole sermon on that about 6-7 months ago. You might get it repeated, Reggie. Hope. Hope is the expectation of a better tomorrow. Sometimes the day is not too good, but if you have hope, there will be a better tomorrow. You know, the problem, though, is that hope can die as one of the casualties of tragedy. People lose hope. The other side is that hope can be one of the benefits of tragedy. The Christian who trusts God and hangs in there has a promise of a better tomorrow. Doesn't mean that God will always reverse the tragedy that we're experiencing, but it does mean that He will use yesterday's tragedy as the foundation for tomorrow's triumph. While we may not know the shape of hope's fulfillment, we are promised that we will never be disappointed by God. The grace of God will make it good. And then there's love. Love is the compassionate care of God for us through this entire process. Scripture says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. When we face a tragedy in life, it's a good thing to have professional help like emergency medical care people. It's even better to have the best professional assistance given by someone who truly and deeply cares for you as a person. God is absolutely professional and competent in getting us through the tragedies of life, and he is also passionately in love with us. Passionately. And that love carries us each step through the process. None of us seeks tragedy for ourselves, nor should we ever wish tragedy on anyone else. Never. However, from a Christian perspective comes the confidence that God can and will use tragedy for good. Study after study shows that about 90% of people who have experienced a tragedy in their life, like death or illness or a breakup, divorce, etc., say that it causes them to have a more positive meaning in life. So as Christians, what shall our attitude be toward tragedy? And I say, let it be an attitude shaped by God in those seven little words: faith and peace and grace and perseverance and character and hope and love. Let it be the attitude of Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works. All things don't work. In all things God does the work for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Do you love God? God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his own son, who died on a cross for the forgiveness of your sin and the gift of eternal life. It's awesome to even think about that. If you've not accepted Christ into your life, I say to you, come to Christ today. Seek forgiveness of your sin. Accept the gift of eternal life. If you are a believer and you're experiencing some difficulty in your life, let God help you through it for a better tomorrow. If you're without a church home, I invite you to come join the fellowship of this church, where these folks sitting in here will help you nurture, and they will help you deal with the difficulties of your life. They will actually be your friends. Come today as God speaks in your life, number 146.